Acts 11, as verses 19 to 30. That's Acts 11, verses 19 to 30. The church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and he saw the grace God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Praise be to God.
The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Acts 2, 1 to 4. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we praise you and bless you and thank you that you are our God. And dear Lord, thank you that you have chosen us, that we could come here this time on this Pentecost Sunday, that we would come, dear Lord, to worship and praise your name. Dear Lord, the worship we just enjoyed because of your presence, dear Lord, around us. Perhaps many of us don't want to leave, and dear Lord, we would ask that you would not leave. For you are the guest of honour here this evening. We need your presence, dear Lord. Without you, then all that we do is just meaningless. But with you, dear Lord, you change us. You change us. So what happens has meaning and purpose. Dear Lord, would you bless us tonight with your word? Would you provide a new revelation of yourself amongst us, that you would change us as your people, and that, dear Lord, we would know who and what you are amongst us. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said. Well, thank you for inviting me here today, and Dawn and Cheryl, and we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for who and what you are. Church that encourages, and it's a wonderful blessing. Let's turn to the Lord's word. It said in our reading, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. If I was to ask you tonight, could somebody say that about you? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? You don't look very secure and sure, do you? You're full of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, are you full of faith? Well, we're getting a bit more. Yes, faith. Remember, faith is a gift from God. So if you need faith, ask him for it. Lord, give me more faith. Forget this, that's what these disciples did when they asked about forgiveness. And they ran up and said, Lord, give us more faith. So, you know, he'll provide you with faith if you ask him. If you ask him, if you need it. He knows what we're like. We're empty sieves most of the time, and most of the things leak away from us. We can go to the Lord. But can somebody say, you are a good man or woman, full of the Holy Spirit and faith? Are you full of the Spirit? Have you faith? Are you good in the eyes of those around you, and especially of God? You may say, well, how can I be good? Doing a curriculum on this during the summer called Good or God. And it's interesting to see what we define as good and what God says is good. But, you know, are you good? Do people run up to you or do they run away from you? You know? What's people's response? Can they receive from you the wisdom of God from who and what you are? And because these people were good and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, what was the consequences of this? Because of who and what they are, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You know, you have, because of your presence, people come to the Lord. You say, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. But then they go, oh no, those Christians are going to run away. What was the difference between perhaps then and now, and those people and now? Remember what Paul said? He didn't come with eloquence of speech. He came with trembling and fear, but he demonstrated in power. Do you have that power? Do you have that power? You know, the world desires power, but the wrong sort of power, doesn't it? And God realizes this. And he knows that if he gives his people power and they use it to bring him glory and honor, then God can provide such great abundance amongst his people that this world would change. And this is really what this is describing. Describing. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Is it because of who and what you are many are brought to the Lord, or are they turned away because of who and what you are? And if that's true, then isn't it about time you changed? Isn't it about time you changed? Because, you know, the whole of heaven needs celebration, doesn't it? Because if one sinner who repents, we know the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, you know, the whole of heaven celebrates when one comes back to the Lord. You want to be agents of that? Now, sorry, I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you. Well, it might be a little bit of conviction, but to encourage you, because this is who and what you're supposed to be about as a people of God. Do you know? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit? Many people perhaps don't think he's needed today. Jesus told us he would send us a helper, a counselor, someone who would enable us to be a people that we need to be. Don't know if you are aware of it, but we need him probably more today than ever before. Ever before. I said this morning, I'm not satisfied with my walk with the Lord. I'm certainly not satisfied with my portion of power that he provides to me. Not because I want more for myself, but the fact I've had more impact upon people. Remember what Elisha asked of God when Elijah went into heaven. He said, have a double portion. What about 16 times? 32 times? 64 times? 256 times of that power that Elijah had? Do you have that need, that hunger in your heart for this? That level of power that God can provide to you so that he would be brought glory and this world would be changed because you're in action and in power and in blessing in this world. Christ knew that without the Holy Spirit, we're useless, we're helpless, we're ineffective, we never understand what God is saying, and the Word is a total mystery to us. Jesus made this promise to us. It's not an empty one, for he knew that we would need power from on high if we are to to succeed, to grow, if you're to develop and bring glory to Him and grow His church. To achieve this, we need those who are schooled and full of God's Spirit, who can instruct us in the ways of Jesus, not the way of theology, but the way of Jesus, so we would not go astray. And that's the warnings we see time and time again in Hebrews, if you spent your time in Hebrews. But the warnings, do not go astray. Do not go astray. Do not go as the world would. So that we then, as God's people, would receive His Spirit and we would be full of His might and power in this world. So we're able to teach. We're able to teach. And that frightens many people about teaching. I put somebody on the spot. What's one of the gifts of the Spirit, Cheryl? Patience, yeah? Get me? Sorry, love, thank you. Are you able to teach anybody any of these things? Because you should be able to, aren't you? If you're full of the Spirit, you should develop the fruits, which means you don't necessarily have to give an exposition of God's Word or in-depth study, but you can say, follow Christ. And look at the patience He gives me. Most of us men don't have patience. Yeah, I think you ladies have much more patience than we do, especially because you have to put up with us. But patience. Love. You have to love one another. Do you have that fruit inside of you? And then people can look to you and they say, how can they have such patience? Those sort of things would drive me to distraction. But look, they just sail straight through it. Well, how can they be involved in these people? I'd run away, but they seem to have that love. So you're teaching people by who and what you are and you're experiencing and the power that God has given to you. Our Bible reading comes from the beginning of the New Testament church, a time when the first of Jesus' followers were forced to spread into the world because of the persecution that they were receiving, because the established religious power base were terrified of them because of their growth and the effect that Christ's Spirit was having upon the world. The speed of the growth of this new church was a great threat to the establishment. In fact, it was almost overrunning them, and something had to be done. So they persecuted this new church in the hope to destroy it, to restrict it, and to stop its growth. How could this movement spread so quickly? I know in parts of the world today that the church is growing, but we seem to be in such a time of struggle in this country, don't we? We don't expect, we don't have the faith to see this explosive growth of people following Jesus. But you know, in this country, you know, people need Christ. I'm sure you're all aware of this. They need Christ far more than they ever have because of the way the world is. Just look to see what you can see on our TV and the media and what's happening to our young people and children and older adults and younger adults in the way we're being abused within our jobs and things that go on, yet we're supposed to be a mature, or what people like to say, a post-Christian society. You know that people need the message, but do you have the good news inside of you? Do you have it? Do you understand it? Is it empowered? Is it enabled so you'll be able to talk to people about it, to say, come and find someone who will put your life to rights. Come and find who will help you with your addictions. Come and find a God who will bless you and will pierce no matter what darkness is around you. You have that in your life today. Can you spread the good news, the gospel? You see, the driver that made the early church, the empowerment was the Holy Spirit. It says in the Word, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. What is God's hand? It is His power. It is His power. And it is displayed, and it is driven, and it is distributed. And that agent within the world is His Holy Spirit. I wonder if you contain the Spirit, or do you allow His abundance to flow amongst you? The Spirit was promised to us by Christ, and it is He that provides the driving force for all Christians. It is what keeps us. It is He that changes us and allows us to be effective for God. Our example of this power which led to this persecution all started with Stephen, who was a man who was filled with God's Holy Spirit, but it enabled him to speak the truth of God with power and conviction because he was willing to be used in this way. He was given gifts by Christ and he was blessed and he saw heaven. He saw heaven. Barnabas was also full of God's Spirit, and he was able to be a great encourager and teacher of God's people. Do you want to encourage you here tonight? Or do you say, I'm going to keep what God has given me? Or are you prepared to give it away? You know, God can't minister to a people who are arms across. You can't give a gift to someone whose arms are crossed. Rather, your arms have to be open wide to accept it. And for someone to give it, they have to have their arms open wide to give it to you. Are you an encourager? Have you the right words to say and to bless? What about you? What power, what gifts, what purpose do you contain? Is it God's or is it your own? Yet this is your destiny. This is your purpose, to be fishers of men, a people of power, world changers. Are you like this? Barnabas sought Saul because of the circumstances of Antioch. They needed to combine their talents so God's people might be encouraged and know the truth of God and grow in Him. Antioch was the first most important city in the Roman Empire at that time. God knows what needs to be done, you see. The opportunity He gave at the early church to spread the word into the world was great indeed. It was amazing that God was in control. You know, perhaps if the early church stayed in Jerusalem, perhaps it would be less effective and much smaller than it needed to be. But God enabled the very people who perhaps tried to restrict the church to allow it to be spread out into the world because of that persecution. I wonder here tonight, are you spreading the word and work in this church and in your lives? Are you involved and active within your neighborhoods, this town? Or is God unknown in this area? Is the name given as an expletive rather than a blessing? Do people view God's name as a curse rather than see the love of heaven? And if they do, what are you doing about it? God's power, God's hand is important to us. If we're not full of God's power, then we cannot teach, we cannot lead. Without His power, we're unable to encourage others correctly. It's a vital element of God, which must not be missing from our lives. If we are to be encouragers, we have to be encouraged, and it's God that does it. We have to know what's in God's word, and to enable us to understand it, we need His Spirit, the author of the word. Without God's Spirit, you see, we only have the world. And the world perhaps might sustain for a while. It soon turns to dust. But with God's Spirit, you have potential and you have the power of heaven. If you lack that power, then ask God for it. We heard that this morning. You know, which one of you, even though you're evil, would, if your child asks for you for an egg, you give them a scorpion? You didn't, did you? You didn't. But probably we see families today who probably would. But we who know and love God would not. Do you knock? Do You ask, for whomsoever asks will receive. Whoever knocks is answered. Whoever seeks will find. Do you knock? Do you seek? Do you ask? Or is all this a total mystery to you? If you need permission, then tonight it's granted. If you need encouragement, then tonight it's given. See, God will encourage you. God has already given his permission if you love him and you obey him. There's a downside to it, though. You will receive persecution. You have to step up to that. Not nice, but you have to step up to it. And the unfortunate thing is, just as it was in those days, it will come from the church rather than from the world. Be warned. Jesus recognizes the diligence of those who seek and those who ask and those who knock and are persistent and have a heart for the lost souls of this world. And for those who ask and seek and knock, even greater gifts and power will come into their lives, which comes only from the Holy Spirit. And for those who bring glory to him. It says in Acts that many knew the teachings of Christ, but did not and had not received his Spirit. They needed to be encouraged, so therefore Christ's disciples laid their hands upon them and they received this power. Have you received this power? Have you had hands laid upon you? You see, the Spirit transforms your Christianity. It makes you effective for God. It enables you to be an agent of this world. The Spirit is your birthright. God knows that you can't do these things on your own. We don't have that which is required of him inside of us. And that's why we need his agency and power and blessing. I wonder how often you pray to the Spirit. How often he's made welcome. You allow him to work amongst you. You know, the early disciples did nothing without the Spirit. Jesus constantly relied upon the Spirit. You know, if they had to, then surely we have to. The Spirit has been upon this earth for 2,000 years. And unfortunately, the church, by and large, totally ignores him. And we do this at our great peril. God gave him. So why do we reject him? We should not fear him. We shouldn't ignore him, but rather embrace him. Are you prepared tonight to be used and energized by the Spirit? You know, it's easy. It's easy to allow him in. We just have to put our fear to one side. See, Christ promised him so that you might be who you need to be. To do what you should do. Christ promised him so that we would not have to be afraid and we would have growth and success. You know, we do not receive because we do not ask. Don't relegate the Spirit to the back cupboard. Don't force him away and only allow him to make his appearance infrequently like today. Allow God and his word and his Spirit to come together all in Christ so that we would know presence amongst us. Loved ones of God, ask for him, yearn for him, allow him to have his way with you. For you see, Christ needs you and wants you. Welcome him in so that you can gain your potential. That potential which should transform your life so when people look at you, they would say, who are they? Who are they? So this fellowship, so that your family, this church, could be the awesome people that this land and those who are in darkness need you to be. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here tonight. And ask, dear Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit and power. But dear Lord, if they've had an anointing years ago, that they would have a fresh one here tonight. But dear Lord, healings would take place amongst your people, that they would realize they have your permission, that they would not be afraid to lay hands and ask for you to heal. But dear Lord, if they are struggling and lack energy, that they would open themselves up and you would crash in like a mighty wave and say, I'm here for you, my people. That's why I came into this world. But dear Lord, perhaps if they struggle in the study of your word, that they would remember when they sit down with your word, they would ask, come, Holy Spirit, come. So there's not one person reading it, but two, and one of them is the author. So they would allow you to say, I wrote this little bit here, which, and this is what it means. But dear Lord, when they worship you, you would be in that middle of that worship, and you would lift them up so Christ is lifted up amongst them, like we've experienced tonight, dear Lord, and praise you and bless you for that. Is the power amongst your people, dear Lord. Nothing would assail them. It would be an issue or a problem. And they would overcome all that this world or the church would throw against them. And they would be known as a mighty people. Let the Lord minister to you for a few moments. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're enabling your people here to do. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the enabling. Thank you for the permission giving. Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would keep yourselves, that you would keep yourself close to the minds of your people here, so that Christ would be glorified. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, dear Lord God. And as we move into our time of communion together, that with the Spirit you would bring to mind, dear Lord, this teaching regarding this and the blessing that this is for us. I would ask, dear Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight who has difficulty in their life, that perhaps is they feel that they cannot take communion, that you would deal with that straight away. Your table is open. You gave the meal so that we might share it. And we would be blessed because of it. Thank you, dear Lord. Amen. Thank you.